Okay, if everybody could take out their Bibles and turn over to Psalms chapter 33. Psalms chapter 33, that's where I'm going to be starting here in just a minute. Do we ever get that feeling that somebody is right behind us? That feeling that maybe we're being followed, you know, a little sense of paranoia? This is the tactic that haunted houses use, if you've ever been the one. They'll make it feel like somebody's behind you. They may never jump out and scare you. They'll just have somebody follow you in a mask. And it can be a very scary and tense feeling that you get when you're being followed. What if someone were to film you for a day? Just monitor you closely for one day. How much differently do you think we would act? Would we act better or worse? Obviously, we're going to be acting a lot more better if we're being monitored. The choices would be smarter and better. We wouldn't be going to McDonald's. Of course, we would be going to Subway and be getting a fresh fit salad. Or we would want people to see the best in us, not how we actually live. They would want to see who we really are. Well, guess what? God is watching us constantly. Every second of every day, God is watching over us. As I was trying to pick out a topic again, one thing that kept on coming to my mind was a topic about judgment. And it can be a scary topic that one day we're going to go before the great I am. But today, I'm going to be talking about judgment and His mercy, though. Just to get us more thinking about that one day, we're going to have to go before God. And that there's no avoiding that. It's hard to swallow at times, yes, that we are being watched, we're going to die, and that we are going to be judged. But hopefully, by taking some of these verses on judgment and His mercy, we will be able to stay focused and be more prepared to face that day coming. Now that everybody is over the Psalms chapter 33, I hope. Psalms chapter 33, starting in verse 13. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of His dwelling, He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. The Lord is considering everything that we do every single day, as it also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 5. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring both to the light hidden things of the darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will be from God. We're going to be judged even by our motives. Everything that we're even thinking, God is going to judge us on. And there's no hiding from giving an account for all those things that we think and do. Also look over in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 11, which was the scripture reading. I'd like to thank Justin for doing that for me. Romans chapter 2, just going to pick a couple verses out of here. Verse 11, for there is no partiality with God. And then also down in verse 16 it says, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Those secrets that we think are secrets, well, not really secrets. God is going to judge us on those. One part that sticks out of me why I read verse 11, no partiality with God. If we look at the definition of what partiality means a special fondness, having preference to, or liking. But with God, we're not going to get any of that. He's not going to baby us one bit. We're all just going to be judged the exact same way. Also look in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We are going to give an account before God for everything that we've done. Not only the bad, but the good also. And the way I kind of think about when we go before God is that it's the judgment seat is what it's called. And there was a show on ESPN called Rome is Burning. And the guy's name was Jim Rome. And he would have coaches come in and they would sit in the hot seat. And the coaches would just sit there and get fired on questions about their team and what's going on. That's kind of how I think the judgment seat's going to be like, kind of getting an analysis of where we're at, why we did stuff, the good and the bad. And that it's kind of how we view a job, if you think about it. We think about the good about getting the job. It's good, we're going to get paid. But if we don't get it, okay, we don't get paid. Just good and bad. But what about the actual job interview? Do we often think about that? Maybe the interview, well, this is what it's talking about, the judgment seat. We're going to have to go before God and be judged about everything that we have done. And there is no escaping that judgment. We have to always be on guard, and we can't be unprepared. College students, as they get away from parents, I've seen this with Christians that have gone off to college. They know what's right. They've been going to church all their lives. Their parents raised them how they thought they were, good Christian kids. But they get away from their parents and they get a little off track and they start the sin. And we're going to have to give an account for those things. That's why we always have to be focused, because there is no hiding for God. A verse that always lingers in my mind is Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 13. Hebrews 4 and verse 13 reads, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." God can see everything. And if we have this verse always in our mind throughout the day, that is one verse that is good to have in your mind, knowing that the Lord is watching you constantly. And if you think about that when you're making your decisions, keeping the Lord first, it will really help a lot on your decision making for the Lord. One thing I'd think about is, as a little kid, my mom would say, "You've had one cookie a day, you can't have any more." And she would open up the garage door and leave, and I'd run to the window, look out, she's gone. Then you run back to the cookie jar, and right as you stick your hand in, you remember that voice, you've already had one cookie, you can't have one more. And that's kind of how this verse is. If we think about that before the decisions we make, this will help us so much to make the smart decision. And by the way, I didn't have that cookie. I never did. Look over in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and in verse 10. Romans 14 verse 10. "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us shall give an account himself to God." Everyone is going to bow, as it says there. That's a very humbling verse to read, that every knee shall bow to me. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Every knee is going to bow to God. If you would also look in Romans chapter 2 again. Romans chapter 2, this time reading, starting in verse 1. "Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same thing, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impatient heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in that day in revelation of the righteous judgment of God, will render to each one according to his deeds. In the end, as it says in verse 6, will render to each one according to his deeds. In the end, we're going to get what we deserve. Whether we lived a faithful life, we will be rewarded for that. But if we didn't live how we know we should have been living, we're going to get what we deserve in the end. As it says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then also in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 23. Also, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. All of us have sinned, and really, we deserve nothing. But that's where God's mercy comes into play. Because without his mercy, we would really have no chance of going to heaven. And there's a lot of verses on mercy, such as Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37 and in verse 26. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Also in Psalms chapter 100. Psalms chapter 100 and in verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Two more still from Psalms. Psalms chapter 108 and in verse 4. Psalms chapter 108 and verse 4. For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. And last thing, Psalms 119 and verse 64. Psalms 119 and in verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. All these verses said about the same thing, where God's mercy is everlasting and he saves us till the end. And that is because God, he wants us to be saved, as it says in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. I'm not going to take time to read it, but it says that he wants us to be saved. Also, we know in Titus chapter 3, turn with me to Titus chapter 3, and then verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have... Yeah, okay. Titus 3 verse 5, excuse me. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. As it says there again, his mercy is what saves us. Also, if you will look in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, starting in verse 11. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not commit murder." Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. As it says in the end of verse 13, mercy triumphs over judgment. We're all going to be judged, but there's still that mercy factor that comes into play, that God is merciful and will show mercy to us. But mercy is not something that for us to decide if we need mercy. If you think about it, in a court case, the criminal can plead for mercy, but he can't say that he needs mercy. The judge is the only one that is able to grant him that mercy. And as a good thing to think about, as long as we live good on this earth and stay focused about facing that judgment in the end, God is going to preserve us a spot. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 17. 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. As it says in verse 18, that he is preserving us a spot in heaven. And that's really good to know, that we go through so much and that we're going to be judged. But if we live faithfully to him, that he is going to preserve us a spot. Lastly, look over in Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, starting in verse 16. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height all are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring glory and honor of the nations into it. I don't know about you, but as you read over how great we see that heaven is going to be, I know that I want to be there. I want to do everything that I can to be there. As you see in 23, the city had no need of sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. That is, in my opinion, one of the greatest verses to read, that it doesn't even need the sun or the moon in heaven, because the glory of God will be shining so light and illuminating it. And I also want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," as it says in Matthew 25 and in verse 21. I want to be able to hear that in the judgment day when I go before God. And now, this is the time where I want everybody to think about this the next few days, and as you go out into the world doing your jobs, that you're going to be judged for everything that you do. All those things, those times when you're alone, that nobody can see what you're going to do. God is. God is looking down from heaven, as it says in Psalm 33 and verse 15. He is looking down and watching us, of all the inhabitants of man on earth. At this time, if you have not been living as you should have, if you have not been living in a way that you are not going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," now you have a time to come forward and repent of those sins. Or if you have not been baptized and would like to become closer to God, come forward as we stand and sing this song.